Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 526 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm the Big D's.
Big D's.
Big D's
has been getting fed D's all week long.
He has.
And I wasn't on the member side on Friday night, so I didn't get to see you have your little yet a very brief. I did listen to it after the fact though, after it was brought to my attention with a timestamp. But You did have a little bit of a fight.
Mate, I did the best I could as a little Aussie battler, just trying to make my way through the tidal wave of horrendous abuse and bullying that I was subjected to by a guy that, you know, flies exclusively private as part of the Hollywood elite, takes it upon himself to make me, you know, his target.
But when you talk about being like little, when you say things like little Aussie battler and stuff, I think of like
I'm just a battler.
The castle, you know, the castle, but like you're, you know, not Gina Reinhart. I mean, you know, you and Gina in the MI, like fucking this,
scissoring.
You know, like the scissoring in the MI. It's like the scissoring version of like the Carl Weathers, Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah, manly handshake meme.
No, we shouldn't make fun of Glennie. The industry he's in, or his feelings, or his opinions.
No, I'm just saying he's not a battler.
Where is Jay?
Saying,
and what have you done with him?
Not a battler.
Doesn't sound like you.
And this is probably a good time. Glennie, if you just want to explain to all the listeners,
I paid all your bills, cunt.
Well, he's battling against the health of planet Earth.
Bitch, you're having to take my money. Tell me about the industry I'm in.
If you just want to explain to all the listeners now why you think they should vote no to the Voice to Parliament, and your reasons for doing so.
I feel like that's for another podcast and another time and another place. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
This week in the MI, starring Big D's and Pauline Hanson.
Look, it's so good. It's not only, it's great for, you know,
Big D's and Big P's.
It's great for guys that are, you know, such illustrious and monumental successes in their field, such as Hayward Island, to buddy take time out of their schedule to focus their attention on me. I'm just a guy from the western suburbs of Sydney that's made his way to a fucking country hick town to try and feed his family. It's quite flattering, actually. It's also great because it also opens the door for some others to try and pile on, and it gives meaning to their otherwise meaningless existences. I'm basically Jesus. I'm just making people feel better about themselves, and it's what I do. If it's on the touch.
Jesus, what, you say you're empowering people in positions of power to molest children? Is that what you're doing?
Well, long term, that's probably going to take me 2,000 years, but...
Anyway, look, enough about
I think you and the Hollywood elite may have just found some common ground.
I've got no doubt.
What a mediation session this is.
It's been so good.
Release the flight logs, I say.
To Hayward Island.
Anyway, enough about you getting fed and your various failings, Glennie. And let's move on to something entirely different. The C grade touch round up of the weekend.
more failings, and more getting fed. Look, we had a narrow 5-3 loss on the weekend.
Wasn't that meant to be a team you were supposed to smash, though?
No, they're a good team.
Do you play? Okay. What, aren't they the ones coming last?
Isn't there only four teams in the comp, say?
I was led to believe there were more, but, you know, that
could... I mean, Jay was doing that part of the commentary.
Yeah, I'm only just going off what Jay was saying last week. I didn't see anything. So anyway, so you went down 5-3. Three tries to you, though.
We had five players out. I was pretty proud of myself. Played some bigger minutes than what I'm used to, so took some more steps in my journey to making sure that my fitness gets more up to speed. Also had a fair run tonight against the under-17s basketball team, just saying. But wasn't to be. Had one pretty regrettable moment where I made a touch and they split to my wing and I wasn't quick enough to get back onside and make the touch and they scored right at my feet, which is a bit of a rookie error.
So hang on, who are you? Lions?
Yes.
Sorry, keep talking.
And
Stepdad's on the ladder predictor.
Isn't he what? That was a little bit embarrassing, but pretty solid effort from the lads, given that we had five pretty key players out, but we stood up. Thought it was solid effort.
Oh, Glennie, you need to, as a fucking major sponsor of the club, you need to redesign those fucking polo shirts. They are fucking dreadful.
We're not on those.
Why? Don't you care enough about the club?
We sponsor multiple teams throughout the club, but we didn't sponsor the 50th anniversary polo.
That's the 50th anniversary polo.
I think that's the one you're talking about, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
One that looks like a mentally challenged person. Shit all over it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't find your drawer. It's probably you
if it's blue shit, because you're fucking blue tonight. I don't know why.
I can't find your drawer, Glennie. I found it so easily last week.
You did. I was very impressed.
Anyway.
So you lost to the team coming last?
Yes. Okay. Yes, in a nutshell.
Well, that is regrettable.
Look, like I said, key players out for various reasons. Solid effort. Little Aussie battlers just out there having a go.
All right. So better luck next week. Who are you playing this week?
Fucked if I know.
Okay, it's good to see you engaged anyway. And with an eye on the future.
Only getting yourself mentally ready.
Oh, here we are. We're back. We got it. We're on.
Okay.
We're on. So hang on. So Saturday the 29th. You've got the Saints.
Fuck.
Why is that bad?
Yeah, no, they're a good team.
Okay, so let's have a look at the ladder. The Saints are coming second last.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a great team then.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
So, fuck, if you got done by the team coming last.
We
beat that team previously with a full squad and came very close against Saints. So, really,
so you've dropped down to third, Glennie. You've dropped to third.
Out of how many teams?
Five.
There you go.
So half of your team's in the top half and half of your team's in the bottom half.
So we'll be fine. I think we'll right the ship this week and get another W.
Nice. Well done.
How are finals going to work in this competition?
Oh, fuck, I know.
Everyone goes through except for the last team?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, it's all right then. I mean, you're still in the hunt then, Glennie. I mean, you'd have to confirm that. Maybe the top two just go through and they just play each other like, you know, for 4 weeks in a row.
No, they don't call
the last time the grand final. But
I'll tell you what, it's so funny. In both the boys' basketball tournaments, they made their respective finals last season.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all they care about. Every weekend they want to look at the ladder because they don't want to miss the finals. And it like they've got no idea about how ladders work and how many points and this, and they're just freaked out that if they look.
Are they actually playing for points?
Yeah.
At that age, yeah.
Fucking
okay,
oath
cool.
They are. Under 11s and under 13s.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, it's fully sanctioned. Like they've got, as most kids' sports do these days, you know, careers with Basketball Queensland and you know, total points and fouls and all of that shit, but. No, all they care about is making the finals, and it stresses them out no end because they have no idea how a ladder works and what it actually means or any of the shit. So,
I mean, they would surely be aware that if they're at the top end of the ladder, they're on track. looking good.
My 13s team is undefeated this season.
Okay.
And one of them asked me tonight, if we lose a game, can we still make the finals? And yeah. I'm like, yes, you could lose every game before the finals and still make the finals. Like, it's, yeah. They're not rocket scientists.
That's not things that's not particularly things that the little kids should be worrying about.
No.
Particularly in an undefeated team. That's... All right.
Business,
you have anything else
hand.
To add? Yeah, business at hand. We're doing Monday night for the first time in fucking ages. So you're actually going to get two shows this week.
There you go.
Unless Glenn pulls a pin on Wednesday. Who knows?
Why do I always get blamed? It's probably a reasonably
often,
fair spread
often,
of
often,
one
often,
of us
like
pulling the pin.
I feel like you. Actually, I suppose Stepdad. It's usually work though. Like between the two of you, it's usually like work that kills Monday, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, not every time, but yeah, generally. Yeah.
Yeah.
In any case, you got a Monday this time, which means a quicker episode, and especially because with the lack of glorious fucking details about the C grade touch this week, there's mentally I'm banking 15 minutes of content every fucking episode with that shit. But you've
why?
Let me down. But with the,
I don't
let
know
let
why.
Me down a third of it this week. But that's okay.
Here's the Facebook page.
Oh fuck!
What I may do is post a link to that in the Twill Nation Facebook.
In what?
In our Facebook.
Touch.
So that
can you not? Can so you please not?
So that it.
Please
yeah,
don't.
Because if I don't post a link, no one can find it.
Yeah, you've said it. You've said it now. The genie's out of that fucking bottle.
That's cool. Righto, it's getting deleted. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you one thing before we get into the games. I went down to Coles late on Saturday afternoon, I think it was.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Walking out of the car, walking back to the car outside the Coles, and a dude comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, you're Nathan this week in league, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then introduced himself again, and I realised, you know, being where we were, I had an idea who it was, and it's a long term, a very OG listener. In Matt, who lives, you know, in the same neighborhood where I live, and the story about, well, the one thing, a couple of things from the conversation we had, but still around after all these years, over a decade, happy to see the Big D's back, and he was dropping some Big D's references and stuff like that too. So he wasn't fudging it. Like, he wasn't like he just listened 2 years ago and realized Glennie was back. He was dropping some Big D's, and and the story with that guy, and Glenny, you probably remember. I mean, this is well before Stepdad's days, but back in 2011, when Manly were playing the Warriors in the grand final, me and Glenny were down there, and this is before the days of meetups and stuff like that. So we were down there at the stadium at the grand final, and we sort of said before the game or whatever, you know, we're in Bay whatever, and you know the bar behind that bay at the stadium will, you know, will be there for, you know, 15 minutes or whatever, you know, if anyone wants to have a beer or, you know, catch up or whatever. And this guy, Matt, he came up to us then and he's like, how you going? Love the show, blah, blah, blah. You know, so shooting shit with him. Where'd you come from? And he goes, flew down from Queensland. And where are you from? Yeah, Mango Hill. All right, whereabouts? And it says he's just around the corner from me. But all that way to catch up at the first sort of meetup. And I mean, that was, of course, the meetup where we unearthed Grover and so much other content has ensued over the following 12 years. But it was good catch up with him. Good to see he's still on board. And it's good, always good to hear from people who aren't like... Yeah, there's so many listeners who just listen to the show and we have no idea, you know, really that they're out there. They're not, you know, active on the socials or anything. And so it's always good to hear from those guys as well.
I will now, say, I do remember vividly that guy is the only Dragons fan in existence with any redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Well, there you go. And and look, you know, he's listening to the show all these years. That's fucking high praise. that's I mean, that goes somewhere beyond high praise. I mean, that's like, Yeah, that's like unprecedented territory.
It's a low bar. You only have to have one redeeming quality to fucking win to get a prize.
Yeah, but I mean, like to be the first Dragons fan with a positive word spoken about them. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah, how many redeeming qualities they have. So look, you know, you've pretty much become the greatest living Dragons fan at this point. Because fuck, even the dead players, you know, don't get a pass from Glennie. Now, we move on to round 21, and it's just completed, and we start on Thursday with what was, in every sense of the word, a true Spoonerpalooza, an epic hype bowl. It certainly lived up to the name and more, with the Dragons 18 defeating the West Tigers 14 at Wynn Stadium. The Dragons 18 tries to Sloan, Lomax and Rawalawa. Lomax 3 conversions. The Tigers had a double to Junior Tupou, a try to Appy, and one conversion successful from Wakeham. Now, Glenn, my view on this game is the West Tigers probably should have won this game about 32-18. They created so many opportunities that they couldn't execute. And Rawalawa, some of his fucking decision-making about coming in was some of the dumbest shit I have ever seen in my life. And the fact that you did take advantage of it once or twice.
But then you matched that.
Holy
with
fuck.
His brain snaps were at the end of the game being made by a brain in a body with one leg. He was fucked.
Yeah, and then to actually barge through over a couple of guys to get that try. On one leg. Was quite extraordinary, yeah.
It feels weird for me to say. I don't know that the Tigers were really ever, certainly never in control of the game, never really in the game or out of it. They were just there. They did a couple of good things and backed that up with some really shit things. It was you know, as frustrating to watch as most Tigers games even was. For the Dragons, all jokes aside, I thought Lomax had plenty of class touches, and it's going to be interesting to see how he fits into Flanagan's system and plan. But he's a legitimate strike weapon for him. And obviously Hunt looks like he's regaining interest, albeit he's been forced into it. But, you know, for how long, whether they force him to see out the duration of his contract. And if that's going to be his attitude and that's how he plays, I think it's probably the best the Dragons can hope for. He wasn't horrible.
All that chat, though, has kind of died right off,
hasn't
it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think he might just put his head down and see it out. He's tried to, you know, make rumblings to get a release, and it's been knocked on the head. And to his credit, as a professional, he's gone back about his work. He had a couple of weeks there where he's a little bit off the pace.
I think he'll move
in the off season.
Well, either once finals are done, once the regular season's done, or in the off season.
Yeah. I probably tend to agree with you, but it depends how hard Flanagan, you know, keeps, you know how hard a hand he wants to play. I feel like him and Lomax have, you know, with Lomax, you know, aerial ability, not to mention his footwork with Hunt's passing game, and they're a handy combination, and certainly were more than enough to handle the Tigers. I think Amone and Sloan had their moments. Sloan had a couple of brain snap moments too, which didn't help his cause, but they've certainly, you know, I think the Dragons will be, as much as it pains me to admit it, they will be a lot better under Flanagan. I think they'll defend better. They'll probably play with a bit more grit and structure and system, which probably suits guys like Lomax and certainly Hunt. So, I don't. If they hang around, I think, you know, again, I don't want to see any Dragons fan smile. But I think they'll be a reasonable side in the years to come.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, next
Their
one.
Their fans will still be cunts, though.
Yeah, obviously. The Warriors 21 defeated the Canberra Raiders 20 in the pub slot. The Warriors 21 tries to Nukore, DWZ, and Charles Nickel Klukstad. Two conversions to Sean Johnson, two penalty goals to Sean Johnson, and the field goal. Raiders 20, tries to Hudson Young, Rapana, Whitehead, and Whiten. Two conversions to Ulterior Eyes.
The renaissance for Sean Johnson continues. I think he had, again, some great moments, not to mention the field goal, but just whatever the fuck Webster has done with him and how he's got into his head. We say it, you know, we've said it plenty of times this season already, and I don't see it stopping before the season's out. The Warriors are on a run, and definitely, I think, are probably the feel-good team heading into the finals.
Yeah, no, they look like they were going to put a score on it at a point there. I mean, it's just the final scoreline, obviously, you know, was a very close game and, you know, went into extra time. But those two, you know, it was 20 points to 10 with no time.
Mm.
Like, I mean, they scored those two tries in a fucking minute and a half.
Yeah. In 2 minutes, yeah. That's,
yeah, exactly. So it was a bit worrying the way that the Warriors sort of dropped off at the end there, and especially the way that they gave up that break down the left hand side, down their right hand side for that try that took it into extra time.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of fucking space out there on that side. I mean, they were extremely compressed there, and it was an easy try. But you know, their response though, like that's a set of seven, I guess. But that set that they had to ultimately get the field goal to win was one of the best golden point sets that I've ever seen.
It was textbook, hey?
Like straight, it was textbook straight down the guts. They got it to about 20 meters out from the posts, and then they got far enough forward that they could sling it back to almost the 40 and give Johnson like tons of time to, you know, to take out any consideration of the offside players scrambling to get in the road, any particularly quick players that would run interference on him. And yeah, and they, and despite that, they did get close, but nailed it. And once again, Sean Johnson, for about the fourth or fifth time that I can remember, has killed the Raiders in heartbreaking fashion at the end of a game.
It was an interesting one. The Raiders had rued this one almost as one that got away, and I know they left their run very late.
Yeah, I mean, and they were kicking for kicking for the win in regulation as well. But, you know,
that's it
out wide, but yeah.
On all of the stats, you would look at this and if I showed you the stats and said who won, you would have gone, oh, the Raiders in a close one, you know. However, the Warriors just have this ability this season to take advantage when it's presented to them. But to your point, there are worrying times, and it happened to them last week. There was that period sort of just after half time where they came out of the sheds and it took them far longer to get back into the game than it should have.
Mm.
So they've got these little dips in concentration and effort that they really need to adjust before the business end of the season. But apart from that, their season continues. It's fucking great to see.
The next one, the Broncos, 36, defeat the Rabbitohs 20 at Sunshine Coast Stadium. And the Broncos 36 came through a double to Katoni Staggs. Reynolds, Cobbo, Walsh, Willison with tries. 6 from 6 for Reynolds. The Rabbits, Johnston, Campbell Graham, and Isaiah Tass with tries. Taffy, 3 conversions from as many attempts and 1 penalty goal. And it is my understanding that he has signed with the Doggies now.
Who's Taff?
For 2 years, ooh, I think. So
good signing.
It's a good signing. I mean, what is he like a contingency plan for when Crichton sucks at fullback, or and they move him to the centres, or you know, like. But yeah. Anyway, you can go first, Glenny.
Well, I think Latrell Mitchell would have made a massive difference to this game.
Would he though?
I think.
Because like the Rabbits were on top and looking great,
yeah.
But once the fucking gauntlet got thrown down to them, they just, I think they've got a massive crisis,
which is exactly the point where Mitchell, you know, has a tendency to grab a game by the scruff of the neck and wrestle it back, with something brilliant out of nothing.
Can I put it to you though? Has he done that this season? We all know he's capable of it, and there's been injuries and all these things this year. But at any stage this season, because I've been waiting for it as well, those times that he's been on the field, I've been waiting for him to stand up and just remind everyone who he is and what he can do, and I haven't seen it.
At all?
At all. I haven't seen him do exactly what you're saying. There would be those times in games where he would just flick a switch and be like, awesome.
And it's one moment. It's like everyone's, Mitchell's nowhere, he's gone missing, and then bam.
Yeah, that's it. It's
Probably when they beat Panthers earlier in the year.
Mm.
Even then, I don't
feel
that.
But that's the last time I feel like, that's the last time I reckon Souths were like that too.
Souths as a whole, yes. But again, I don't remember him. Was he even playing then?
I don't know.
Did he play in that
game? I can't remember.
Yeah. Not sure.
I feel like he did, but yeah.
In contrast, though, I think the Broncos played their absolute peak form for 15 minutes and Souths had no answer.
No.
They turned it on. And if they can do that, it's a stretch to say, can they do it for 80? But if they do it for big stretches of games, I don't think any team other than Penrith can go with them.
Broncos cracked the code for getting tries disallowed as well. If you do something spectacular like a somersault or a backflip after you score the try, they don't check it for obstruction and disallow it. Because it fucking 100% was.
Yeah, that's it. Anything else you want to say on this one?
No, not for me.
I just think.
Oh, you're talking about Marty Tapau, the fucking dumb cunt that he is. I was told that he was actually cautioned to look at his running style through the week, and I don't remember him being like, for me, Nelson and Sofa Solomona is a much bigger fucking merchant of that sort of shit in the game currently.
Yes,
but then Marty comes out, and if he was fucking warned about it through the week, to then come out and do the biggest example of his entire career of it in a single motion in that game, to the point where he's, you know, now going to be suspended for a couple of weeks, fucking idiot.
Yeah. I just feel, and I know priors and all the rest of it play a part, but if RCGs was 4, that's 6 minimum.
Yeah, but the thing is, he doesn't have the prize.
No, I get it, but it's the intent of it, the potential for serious injury. I mean, fuck. It was just the absolute, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but the negligence, the lack of forethought, completely unnecessary at the same time. What are you hoping to gain other than physically harm someone out of doing that?
It's not like you're one-on-one with the fullback and you've broken out of the pack somehow it was like a regulation hit-up off like a fucking kickoff. It was right down his own end. Like, there's absolutely, yeah. I mean, one of the dumbest things I've seen, the only thing I saw dumber during this game was his missus fucking tweeting that it was bullshit that he got punished for.
Oh,
it.
My fucking God.
That's like fucking, like, oh my God. Just dumb, fucking dumb. And like, you know, Broncos fans, you know, they've kind of been waiting for the other foot to drop onto Power all season because I warned him. And I mean, he cost them that one game where he knocked a guy out or kneed a guy in the head towards the end of the game. It cost them a penalty. But he hasn't been the full, you know, offload merchant, dropping the ball merchant that I know. But now he's got a couple of weeks off, and you live by the Tapau, you die by the Tapau. And the thing is, the Broncos have got players like Willison that are better fucking options than him anyway. Mm. So, you know, it actually improves their side.
Yeah, so the net result for them is probably an improvement.
Yeah, I think so.
My concern here about the Broncos is that they're starting to give a little bit of that 2005 West Tigers vibe, where, and as we all know, that was the worst side to ever win a premiership in the history of rugby league. But if you look at, and the Broncos have put some fucking scores.
Stop it. I'm already dead. I've had a week's worth of fucking Hollywood elite adrenochroming.
But it's that whole thing of, well, hang on, defense is optional for us. We're going to outscore you. We will just score more points than you. Fuck how many tries you score. And if you look over it, they lost to the Titans. It was 24-16 against the Dolphins. That's not terrible. 24-44 against the Dogs. They leaked 20 points here against Souths. They leaked 20 points against Newcastle. You know, 22 against the Warriors. There are holes in the Brisbane defence.
Yeah,
and they're winning games at the moment just based on outrunning teams and just blitzing them in short periods. And I'm not sure that style of football is going to cut it come the business end.
Yeah.
You know, you get those teams, the Craig Bellamy storms after their fucking children escape from wherever he's put them this weekend. Penrith, obviously, that at the business end of the season take their already good defense to the next level. And if you've still got holes in yours, you're going to have a problem come finals time.
Yeah. Different game then. I guess we'll find out, though. I don't think they're going to fade out like they did last year anyway.
They're not going to fade out offensively at all.
No. The Roosters 36 defeated the Titans 18. The Roosters 36 tries to Suaalii Butcher, Tedesco, Collins, Nat Butcher, and Fletcher Baker. Five conversions and a penalty goal to Suaalii. 18 points to the Titans. Brian Kelly, Chris Randall, Aaron Clark tries. Jaden Campbell, three conversions from as many attempts.
I thought this was pretty dominant from the Roosters. Score probably doesn't reflect that entirely, but Cheese probably had one of his best games for the Roosters.
Good, hey.
Teddy was good. I think the Roosters can get to that level periodically for a game here and a game there. I don't know, that they've got enough of those in them to make the eight and certainly do any damage. But
there's some really dire fucking defense from...
Yeah.
Like just the first up defense from the Titans. Cause, and the thing with the Roosters, when they got the line break, they were there in numbers backing up to make sure that, you know, they got a line break, they converted that into a try.
Yeah,
which is a good sign. You know, that they were on. But my concern is, can they do it for another month to turn things around? But I think it proves the Titans are not at that level. Even, you know, a side like the Roosters can get there, as I said, for a period of time, but the Titans can't compete if the team that they're playing has the ability to get to that level and gets there on the day. I think the Titans have still got a ways to go, but I said it last week, I still feel like they have plenty of pieces to be that team. They're just not there yet.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I agree. And although this is, realistically, just with on paper, you look at both of those teams and how they match up, this is absolutely a game the Roosters should have won.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so I'm not sure we should all be overawed by the Roosters going out there and just doing exactly what they should be doing anyway.
Yeah, but it was just when they haven't been doing it for the vast majority of the season, you know, it's just a...
And this has been a thing with the Roosters all year, though. They'll put in what's considered a fantastic performance, but really, look who it's against, and then they go out the next couple of weeks and face teams that are in the top eight and fall apart.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced they've turned a corner.
No, but I feel like the way they went about this game and the way that they finished their chances and it just seemed like the structure they played with, and maybe a lot of it was actually selecting players in their positions and stuff as well.
Yeah.
But it just felt like they were more themselves than they've been for a very, very, very long time. But, you know, we will see how it goes. I mean, they're going to have to win some games to get into the finals. So
talking about that, their run home is Broncos, Manly.
L again.
Dolphins, which is winnable.
That's winnable.
Parramatta, which is winnable.
That's winnable, yeah.
The Tigers, which is an automatic.
This motherfucker.
The Rabbits.
Winnable out. This weekend, winnable. Like, you know, their performance versus the Rabbits is definitely winnable. I still don't know if that's enough, though. The ones we said they won there, like, that's three or four wins. That's right on the borderline, probably not enough.
And they're caught up. I got them finishing 14th. on 24 points. And then
so above, that's one more win.
So above them's the Titans, which they would still lose on for and against.
Yeah.
And then they're still the next team above them I've got finishing is the Knights in 12th on 27 points. So one loss, you know, by each team turns that around, but that moves them into 12th, not anywhere near the 8.
Yeah.
So I think they have left it far too late.
We'll see, yep. The Knights 26 to feed the Storm 18 in Newcastle again, as every fucking game is for them. The Knights 26 tries to Young, Best, Marzu, Fitzgibbon and Croker. Two conversions to Ponga, one penalty goal. Storm 18 tries to Meany, Loiero and Ollum, with Meany 3 from 3.
And also an honourable mention to a fucking headshot from the Newcastle Digi's team.
Oh, they brought up the Christian Welsh thing, did they?
Well, they've reposted a still from the Christian Welsh thing. And captioned it, like put the subtitle down the bottom. How did we lose to the Knights? So,
yeah, I mean, look, that was a different. The context wise, though, that was a different thing. I mean, he was saying like Panthers had all their players out from Origin. However, and the Knights were one of the teams that went through unscathed from Origin.
He took his fucking medicine.
Yeah,
he's taken his fucking medicine. He's been on the socials going, "Yep, fucking too good." That's, I think he said, you know, I'm 0 from 2 from that press conference. So,
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's one of the players that does, you know, put himself out there quite a bit on the socials. So, you know, he's got to take it. So, no, it's good.
And, you know, he took his medicine and no one was out there threatening his wife and kids.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how banter should be.
Listen, he is a, I wouldn't say it goes so far as beloved, but I mean, he is a universally liked kind of guy. Though,
100%. I feel. Yeah. Hard to dislike.
But yeah, look, you know, shithouse goal kicking from Ponga stopped this from being, you know, even worse scoreline for the Storm. And the first, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, they looked like they were going to fucking blast them.
That Meany try?
Yeah.
That was like a fucking under eights when the fastest kid on the field gets the ball. Yeah. And just goes straight through everybody. Like
the... And they scored. Yeah, and they scored them so easily and so quickly that... Yeah, it looked like it was, you know, they were going to throw a score on. But, man, like, get a bit of Simbin time, and the Knights with one of the best usages, I think, of a fucking man advantage that I've seen. Like, because how many times have you seen it, you know, in the last, you know, 2-3 years where someone gets sent to the bin and the other team might get a try or they'll hold them out or whatever, and it wasn't the thing that used to be.
Just this turns one, it around.
This one, they absolutely turned the game on it. And ultimately, it's probably the difference in the game, too, because they went from looking like they were going to get blown apart to... Yeah, taking a lead into half time, and then going bang again. I think on the other half of the break as well, to take full advantage of it. So, this is a, you know, costly game for the Storm, who have, you know, looking to cement, you know, top four.
Huge,
you
know, step backwards for me. I said last week that they've been building nicely and tapering for a finals charge. This is a massive step backwards for me.
Yeah.
For the Storm, sorry. I thought Newcastle were pretty tenacious and took the fight to Melbourne and picked some key moments to ram home the advantage. And I don't know that the Storm wanted the fight as much as Newcastle did.
And that's the thing. Looking at this, like Melbourne, 45 missed tackles.
Yeah.
45 fucking
missed tackles. Unbelievable.
The positive there is that you know it's not a skill issue. You know, Bellamy's not there thinking, fuck, I've got these guys that don't know how to make decisions, or I've got these guys that get the fucking dropsies after playing for 20 minutes. It's 100% an attitude thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you would suggest, is, well, it's, you know, not at all an easy fix, but it is an easier in-season fix than a skill deficiency.
Yeah, yeah. And look, they're going to turn around. They're going to turn around and right the ship this week because, okay, this is one of those few games in the season where you go, don't know what to make of it. I mean, like, they were so far on top of this game, and the way they fucking let go, and then couldn't find. Then they remember they scored that try to get after half time to get back to like 24-18 or something. Yep. Plenty of time left, and, you know, there's still 30 minutes left or something at that point. And you're like, oh, here they go. They come back. and there's fucking nothing.
Although, cast your mind back to last season. And do you remember that stretch last season where Melbourne were dropping games that they would have almost concreted in as wins?
Mm.
Yeah,
previously, yeah. And there were six games or so where they looked terrible, and that was the demise of Melbourne, and they're gonna fucking they're gone. They can't the dynasty's done. Bellamy's lost the sheds, all of the shit, and then all of a sudden, it took a fucking upset from a depleted Penrith to knock them out of the finals. They turned it around when they needed to.
Yeah.
So if there's one,
I'd still back them to do that.
Yeah.
But this is not a great performance.
We know that Melbourne has gears.
Yeah.
And we know that week one of the finals, Melbourne, is not even necessarily what you see last week of the regular season, Melbourne.
Mm.
Time and time again. Fuck yeah, business end. Let's all put our suits on and be professionals. Yeah. You're right. It's not a fucking great look to drop a game like this, but I sort of feel that I feel the reverse of them of what I do for the Roosters.
Yeah.
The Roosters win doesn't instill me with any sort of confidence, and this loss doesn't really worry me long term about Melbourne.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, what do we got? The Cowboys 24 defeat the Eels 16 up there at the abattoir. The Cowboys, their tries are double to Valame, tries to Hiku and Drinkwater. Holmes, 3 conversions, 1 penalty goal. The Eels tries to Sean Russell and double to Mitch Moses. And 2 conversions to Moses.
I feel like this entire game was a tale of two teams. One, which much like I said about Melbourne last week, are tapering nicely towards their best footy in preparation for what is probably a likely finals campaign at this stage. And then you had Parra, who liked to play for about 10 to 15 minutes a night and pack it in. Parra, they made it close at the end, but the Cowboys were in complete control for the vast majority of this game, and certainly when it was a contest, they had all the answers. Thought Drinkwater was excellent. Townsend was excellent. Dearden had his moments. Taumalolo off the bench as well.
Yep.
Interesting to see how the rest of his season pans out, and how that usage, whether they use him off the bench continually or what the plan is. Thoughts on the Val Holmes tackle on Mitch Moses?
Well, nothing came of it, right?
Mm. But
like on field it did,
yeah,
but like
but forceful contact with the head when the first contact, the contact with the head is caused by the whiplash of the actual tackle, and the head goes forward and hits the shoulder. I mean,
yeah, that's what you said is exactly what happened and shouldn't be. And like it was smart gamesmanship and everything from Moses to because he had the review and to the then ultimately got pinged and gone. And ultimately nothing. I'm pretty sure Val got skated, didn't he?
But I still feel is that in the true context of the rule, like yes, we have to protect our players, but what if that happens in a finals game in a critical moment and they lose a key player?
What's the difference there, Glenn? I don't really have a dog in this fight, but
it shouldn't be the tackler's responsibility to make sure that the player they're tackling has done their shrugs at training through the week.
It's the onus of the tackler to make sure that they get their body low enough to avoid contact with the head.
You know who I blame? Right? Mr. and Mrs. Moses, who should have ensured that their child had a spine.
Yep.
And therefore would have held his head up with enough fortitude for it not to flop forward every time there's minimal contact.
Probably help him standing up in big games too.
Maybe if Mitchell's dad had fucked the giraffe DCE's dad had, then it would have whiplashed forward and hit Val in the back. But
he was like Mr. Fantastic and fucking wrapped around his neck and choked him to death.
But what I'm saying, if he had dropped in the tackle a little bit, the reason for the head hitting the shoulder, I guess, shouldn't come into it. If your shoulder is at head height or where it can contact reasonably contact the head,
But that, the head contacted the shoulder, which is a different thing to forceful contact from the shoulder to the head.
If he had lowered his body position to the point where it could not reasonably be expected to contact the head, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I think you're adding too many fucking ifs.
That's all that I can come up with to make it make sense.
You press your face into my elbow, and I'll jam my elbow into your face.
All you need to know,
depends which arm I use, cunt.
all you need to know, though, to make it make sense is that the match review committee saw it for what it was, and to me, it seems to be a bunker fucking issue. And I got massive fucking problems with the bunker as well coming up in a future game this weekend. They're borderline fucking match fixing.
Don't be fucking Ricky Stewart, please.
Also, can I maintain
that fucking cunt's got nothing on what I've got coming?
that mentality though, is the equivalent of the referees coming out on Monday or Tuesday and saying, mm-hmm. "We got it wrong. We're sorry." Yeah. But what if it happens in a massive game, in a game giving a team? That a team misses out an opportunity to play in a grand final.
Let me put your mind at rest.
You
will never have to worry about that.
I didn't say my team. I didn't say my team.
You'll be okay.
As a fan of rugby league.
because Lord knows, Glennie, you like other teams so much that you wouldn't be laughing at them if it fucking happened to them, right?
I am a man of the people. You're not as bad as I am,
but I mean, you're not a fucking saint either.
I'm just a man. I'm beloved. How dare you?
You are beloved. But let me tell you, if it was the fucking Cowboys it happened to, you'd be laughing your tits off. If it happened to the Dragons,
I'm beloved by everyone that is not your personality type.
If it happened to Manly, if it happened to Penrith, if it happened to pretty much every team except the West Tigers,
I would feel
and maybe the Dolphins.
Nah, you've got me wrong.
You would be laughing
your
fucking ass off.
You've got me all wrong, mate.
Right. The Panthers 44 defeat the Bulldogs 18. Out in Penrith, the Panthers, their tries, a double to Peachy. The Peach God returns and look at him deliver. Tyler with a double. Yo, Crichton, Sorensen and Garner with tries. Cleary, 6 conversions. The Dogs 18. Tries to Alamotti, Avarillo and Skelton. 3 conversions from 3 attempts to Birdo. And this was a lost opportunity to potentially get Seraldo sacked because fuck me, the way this score was piling up in the race against the clock for the first, 30 minutes of the game, squandered.
I saw someone calling for an 80 burger. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, they were ahead of the clock at 20 minutes. Yeah. So it was, that was a fair assumption to make at the time, but fuck me. Like
the trouble was Penrith were in uncharted fucking territory. Like before half time, both of their starting props, I think, had run, if not over, almost 100 metres. It's before the end of the first half.
Yeah.
So, fucking, this is new levels of fucking 4D chess roster management that Ivan's got.
Too much cardio, bro.
Because the fucking, the Dogs are so shit. maybe that's why fucking Trent Barrett took 47 backs into Origin. Because Ivan said to him, look, you need cunts that can run for 160 minutes, but yeah, it was a fucking opposed training run.
Yeah, it's fine. The game was over, and then the Dogs started. Did some good things, and they came back and scored some tries. But yeah, they were never realistically in the game. The selections as well. Like this was a game that is an absolute killer for fucking Flano Jr. Absolute killer for him. Among other players, for Talon Mariner as well. I mean, they got issues with him at the Doggies. Like, I mean, they'll run him out like as a prop, and he didn't want to. And he's a back rower, and had issues with being played as a prop. And I think he got one running meter in the first half.
Yeah,
I think it was a stat.
The Big Diesel had more running meters. Yeah,
exactly. Look. They spent a lot of fucking money. They talked a lot of shit.
Yep.
As a club and fan base.
Yeah.
The club and the fan base made the noise. It's talking the shit.
Yep.
Spent a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Still spending money.
It's this thing. And sports scientists and the...
What did they finish last year? Was it second last?
Second
not last.
Yeah, well, I wasn't last. I mean, obviously.
Third last. Didn't they win a couple of games and, like, leapfrog the Dragons? Where did the Dragons finish last year?
I can't remember. Dragons were like outside the eight, but no chance to get into the eight, but sort of outside the eight, yeah.
A bunch of studies they've done on sports and success and things like that. One of the most important factors is what they call cohesion in a team. And it essentially is a loose term for familiarity or effectiveness of assumption. In that, if I throw the ball here, no matter what sport it is, if I kick it, pass it, throw it, chuck it, fucking whatever, I know how that person reacts in this situation because I've been in this situation with them so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at the teams that have had long-term success, right? Look at Melbourne. Look at the cohesion in that team. As they bring in new players, they still have that core group that are used to each other. You look at Penrith. Those guys have played together since juniors. They've all stayed, or the majority of them have stayed together in that system. I don't think there's been a time in rugby league where you have assembled a super team of better than average players from other teams, put it together, and all of a sudden you're a dominant force. You know, Cooper Cronk went to the Roosters, but they already essentially had representative players in most, if not all, positions across the park. The fact that the Dogs even thought they could do it blows my fucking mind.
Yeah.
So,
and look, you know, maybe Gus feels like he's got like another 5 years to actually deliver on what this, you know, on the spending they're doing now.
Awesome. But who's there?
Yeah.
From all of this spending, who's there?
Yeah. Kickout's had a great year on the fucking pine.
Yeah. He's sitting there fucking, like, you know, we thought Appy was going to the Tigers for a fucking rest. Kickout, hold my beer.
Exactly.
Fucking hell. From Penrith's point of view, what a fucking game for Nathan Cleary on his return. And again, it wasn't up against any sort of opposition. However, his involvement was great. His decision-making was great. There were a couple of times you saw he sort of, you know, I don't know, maybe second-guessed himself and slowed things up, whereas before he would have made a decision faster. But I do love to see him and Luai linking up together on the same side of the field. And that paid off a couple of times. They're just in their groove. They're out there and everyone's doing exactly what they need to do. But to put this game into perspective, like the Isaiah Yeo try, where it was a Mitch Kenny fucking cutout pass from dummy half on the fucking goal line.
Yeah.
And Yoey just dives over, like spins out of a one-arm tackle and literally falls over the line. That gives you everything you need to know about this game.
Yep.
You know, the Dogs have got the Burton bomb, which the commentators do their best to try and convince you is an attacking weapon. But Dylan Edwards had that covered all fucking game, so...
Yeah, the thing, I mean, he should be fucking doing that every fucking kick from wherever position on the field he is.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult. It is difficult to fucking to cover.
It is, and but handle. Again, his kicks are only as good as their chase.
Yeah.
You know, most fullbacks should be able to defuse most of those, unless there's some breeze and it's swirling.
And the thing is, if you put in like a decent chase, or you put in guys that are actually, you know, in contention to take the ball, then it makes it even harder.
That's
and what you need to do is throw bodies at the fullback, so that what you get is a bouncing ball, and then see what happens.
Exactly.
You know, but he should be fucking doing it. That should be every fucking time.
Yeah.
Like the old Penrith fucking clearing midfield bomb thing, except with bombs that are fucking, you know, difficult to take.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then again, the Dogs aren't that team where they can afford to be giving up 15, 20 metres of territory every set because they're kicking for height, not distance. But Penrith are in their group.
Birdo should go to the fucking NFL, I reckon.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Become a punter.
Fuck yeah.
He should go to the NFL and become a punter, because Australians, like, you know, seem to be like the meta over there, especially, you know, particularly like from Australian rules. But I mean, the way that Birdo kicks and the unpredictability of it, I mean, you think he could fucking do something over there, right? Plus he's got that rugby league thing where, you know, he can put a shot on if he has to as well, you know, yeah, if the guy breaks, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, so that's what I'd do. Much more money and
yeah, that's it. Imagine that. If you had like, okay, fuck yeah, I've made my six figures 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live frugally and then I'm gonna spend a year and I'm gonna go to America.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna get some cunt to teach me. And I'm gonna
try and roll that six figures into fucking eight.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, I'm going to spend a year, 8 hours a day, punting footballs, and then put videos of myself on the internet doing it, and someone will fucking pick me up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at least fucking contact the international guys that are based in Australia now, whose sole job is to fucking, you know, identify guys and put them down the pipeline.
Fuck, that's right, because they have they've got salary cap exemptions and all that other shit for it,
don't they? Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, nice, good shit. Do that.
That's what Birdo should be doing fucking with his kicking.
We're ready to be your agents, Birdo. We'll take 1%.
Yep, exactly. 1% and fucking like season passes and shit. Like expenses to get out to some of the games.
Fuck yeah,
that's it. Even if you play for a pack of cunts like the Pats or something.
So essentially, we've just made you money because agents' fees are normally fucking exorbitant.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would
exactly
be financially irresponsible to not hire us.
Yeah, it would be almost like, you know, I mean, let's call it what is negligence.
Yes,
100%. Like just it's like just fucking sitting at the pokies all day, like to not hire us to be your managers. On a dream,
love it.
Fucking punt it. Last game of the round, the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles 30 defeat the Sharks 26 to win the fucking Steve Rogers trophy or whatever the fuck it is, the second major trophy of the year for Big Nuts King Tony Mestrov in his regime. The Manly side 30 had tries to O'Shea, Ruben Garrick, Lachlan Croker, Hamoli Alakwatu, and a double to Tolu Kola in probably his second best game of his entire career, I'd say. Garrick, 3 of 6 conversions in difficult conditions. Sharks tries to the Mutt, Katoa, McInnes, Ramian, Kennedy, and 3 conversions to Nicho Hynes. Look, this was a fucking great game. First half, ridiculous wind in the first half against Manly, and I remember thinking we can just keep it close up till half time. You know, it'll be a nice thing. And Daly again with his fucking kicking game against the wind was ridiculous, and the forwards actually did their job. And I mean, to say a forward pack in which fucking two guys in the rotation are costing us a grand total of $1,000 per game for two fucking plotters, it's fucking ridiculous, because this Shark side is a complete side. Nearly all of these players are signed through until the end of 2025. This is the side that they want and that they are happy with. The spine of Brayley and Nicho and William Kennedy is the spine that they are fucking running with. It's the spine that they want. This is not a side that's like missing pieces from their perspective. This is not a side that's missing any pieces or anything. This is the side that fucking Skeletor is taking to fucking glory for the Sharks. And let me tell you, that forward pack got fucking worked by the likes of fucking Aaron Woods and Matthew Lodge, because Paseka was injured about fucking 2 minutes in, and he's a top 5 prop in the competition at the moment in terms of post-contact meters and production. He lasted fucking no time at all. The Sharks had the better of the fucking restarts, penalties, refereeing, the shit that they didn't get called against them in terms of penalties, and they just couldn't get it fucking done. They absolutely fucking missed. Fuck this top 8 shit that they can't beat top 8. They can't beat rugby league teams, period. They fucking suck. And for some of these teams that are coming up from the back, we talked about the Roosters earlier, Manly's another one in the same sort of similar position, Knights. Those teams will be watching the fucking Sharks very closely, because I think of all the teams that we've got at the moment, Eels are dodgy, but the Sharks are the team that are dropping out of the 8 for a fucking fact. They are dropping out of the 8 and letting one of the teams outside the 8 in. Mentioned Kolo, great game for him, but you know, either his best game or his second best game of his entire career. Saab was great, and I fucking love that they went into this game with a game plan, which was to exploit even though the Sharks had bulk changes, the Sharks knew that their weak spot was Matthew Moylan, and they fucking got him out of there because he's been absolutely diabolical in defence lately. So they brought in, they finally gave their chance to Trindle, and they had the debutant, what was his name, Cockhound, in the side as well. And Manly identified the fact that there'd be no cohesion on that side of the field, even with the changes they made, and because of the changes that they made. So they just fucking hammered it, and it just reaped dividends in that first half. Like, with nearly almost all the tries down that side. And just the ability to not make errors and to actually fucking hammer the advantage and play to a game plan was like the first fucking time they've done it in a long time, which was very pleasing. To lose so many players and be down to one fucking guy on the bench in the second half, obviously they tired towards the end of the game, it was obviously, but they fucking pulled it out. And let me tell you, Manly fans particularly listening to this right now, don't let yourself be fucking gaslit by the fucking NRL, the corrupt match-fixing fucking cunt organisation that they are, that this game was like, you know, a massive Sharks comeback or whatever. Don't fucking be gaslit into that shit. The first half, Nicho Hynes fucking trips Tolu Kola. Nothing on field at the time. No penalty, nothing. He's been fined after the fact because he should have been a penalty at the time. That Colquhoun cunt who injured, I don't think he was actually the one that injured Paseka in the tackle. I think Finucan was the one that was actually the other guy in the tackle. I think he was the one that did the injuring. Not a penalty, nothing on field at the time. He's getting 2 weeks for it, for the tackle. We get the second half. They scored a try after passing off the ground. They scored a try off a fucking, when one of the players basically looked like he decided to play basketball, fucking knocked the ball down, so obviously knocked the ball down. The forward pass that fucking Nicho blew up about probably wasn't forward, but the next try, the one that Katoa did score, that was a fucking forward pass. These cunts had fucking everything their way. No recourse from the referee when fucking, for dissent when Nicho blew up at the lady touch judge. I mean, we've got a women's rugby league competition now in this day and age, and you can't speak to women in the game. We have a women in league round. You can't speak to women in league the way that fucking Nicho Hynes, that filthy little fucking household fucking son of a drug dealer, spoke to her. That should have been a penalty for dissent at a minimum.
But they reviewed the audio and there was nothing.
You'll need to read the papers, sir, because the papers disagree with you. And I know you're speaking from a position where you don't want him suspended because he's in your Supercoach side.
No, I'm not at all.
Well, no, you are, but that's okay.
No, I'm not.
I get it. I'm saying I get it.
I'm the goat of our league. I don't need to worry at all. He could he missed the first fucking 8 rounds and I'm still the fucking goat.
So, I mean, just as an aside, though, it's the first year of a fantasy football league competition. Can you really start talking about goats and stuff in the first year of a fucking competition?
I fucking am. No. I'm the goat. No. I just did.
You are a fucking goat. And for that fucking Skeletor to sit in his press conference and complain about the referees after fucking all of that shit. If Manly had lost that game, there would have been an investigation into match fixing and the integrity of the entire NRL would have fucking gone down in flames because they would have found that the referees would have been fucking on the take. So
would have discovered that this was a fucking game against two bottom eight sides that don't matter and everyone would have moved on with their fucking lives.
You don't even watch rugby league. I mean, if you talk about bottom eight, we've got a 17-team competition now. There's a bottom nine, motherfucker.
Bottom nine, get with
it's 2023. It's the year of our Lord 2023. You can come last when you've come 17th. You can come 16th and not get the spoon. This is a whole new fucking ball game. So listen, Manly fans, don't get gaslit into feeling like you were fortunate to win that game. We were basically fucking almost robbed of that
14 years of this shit.
But we pulled it out. It was a great fucking win, and it's the kind of win the teams need on their way to fucking slipping into the back of the eight for the finals in an unlikely finals campaign. The end.
I regret doing this show.
Oh, now you regret? It wasn't the week of being fucking beaten up on Facebook.
Come on. Mate, you taught me years ago, don't fight down, don't punch down.
This is unrelated to this game,
that was after the time you tried to fight the kid with the extra chromosome.
if you feel like
he was a lippy little cunt.
If you feel like Glenn's audio is not up to scratch this week, let him know on Facebook. Like, just let him know.
I'm sad.
On Twitter.
Get on
Threads, create an account, fucking let him know on Threads.
Because there is a certain type of person that uses the phrase gaslit, and I never thought it would be one of the hosts of this illustrious show who did it non-ironically.
And not towards you.
It was...
the greatest gaslighter in the history of gaslighting. The goat, if you will, of gaslighting.
Well, there you go. See, maybe I'm fucking wrong. Maybe I've been gaslighting myself in saying that I never thought, because here I am.
To be fair, it is what you do.
That use the word fucking gaslighting.
To be fair, it is what you do.
Stop it.
Even to yourself, apparently.
Gaslighting is as real as the gender pay gap.
And also, Jason Saab with the greatest flick pass of all time. Fuck Benji Marshall and fuck Matthew Gidley. The end. I got nothing else to say.
Is it the end? I hope it is, because fuck, I'm sick of listening to you.
Until Stepdad brings something up in the fucking in the social section that we're going to go to right now.
The last thing I want to say about the show, they look like they're a team with no other options other than, you know, youth and athletic ability, and that will get you a certain amount. And I think that's what did a lot for them last season.
Yep.
The majority of their team were young and fucking quick and strong and just overpowered a lot of teams, out enthused a lot of teams. But where Fitzgibbon, I think, dropped the ball a little bit is he had to use that as a foundation, and while that was working for them, start to develop a culture in that team of what happens when it doesn't work. Because you have to have something to fall back on when it's not your night, when you're dropping balls, when the passes aren't sticking, or when the other team's up for it. And I'm not sure the Sharks have that at the moment.
Their forwards should be fucking ashamed. Honestly, they should be fucking ashamed of themselves. They almost conceded 100 metres in yardage to fucking Aaron Woods. 92 metres, can't go. Maybe 96. Wasn't quite 100, though. But the fact that he got more than 10 is an indictment. And also, Trindle had a golden opportunity to not be this fucking career Newtown player. I mean, Skeletor finally fucking woke up and realised how fucking lazy and ineffective Matt Moylan was in defence. Dropped him, brought Trindle in with the fucking world. He had the fucking jersey. It was his.
Yep.
And he was fucked.
Yeah.
He was just as bad. I wouldn't be surprised if Moylan comes straight back in.
Rightio. What do we got from the socials roundup? Devin Head. He wants your thoughts on this, Glennie.
This will be fucking good.
Robbie Farah is eyeing off a new role at the West Tigers. Farah is reportedly in discussion to step into the currently vacant position of general manager of football at the Tigers. So essentially the position that Gus Gould held at Penrith.
And this is a position that hasn't been filled for a long time, right?
No. For a very short period of time because...
Oh, that's right. It was genius.
That's it. No one held the role. Since Tim Sheens vacated it to focus on his head coaching duty. So they haven't replaced him.
So are you saying it's the fastest pathway for Robbie Farah to become a head coach of the West Tigers? Cause it sounds like it.
So Robbie Farah as the general manager of football, Glennie?
Would you say running a football club is easier or more difficult than running a schnitzel restaurant in the club of your team that is like kind of indebted to you or like naturally inclined to supporting you, even if you're shit at business and burn the snitchels.
And where the only thing you sell is probably conservatively 30% of the national population's favourite food.
Look, you pose some valid questions. thank you, Trotters, for igniting this debate. I feel like this all could have been avoided if someone had have greased up the step on the front of the Leichhardt Oval scoreboard all those years ago. And as he sat down, it was an unfortunate accident. And it meant that Robbie could be fulfilling nothing more than a Simon Dwyer type role in the West Tigers rather than general manager of fucking football.
Graham,
and that is to say, saying nothing and picking up things in only your right hand.
Exactly.
Graham threw out, he didn't lodge suit a Manly jersey.
I don't know what that means.
You had a good game, I assume. Dave, I can't watch Channel 9 Gus Gould games anymore. Absolute punishment. There's a bunch of people.
What's the deal there? I don't watch Channel 9 games.
Oh, I think he just gets a little bit tangenty.
The only time I watch Channel 9 games are like Origin, when you got to.
Ash, history was made when two teams defeated the Tigers during the same game. The Dragons and the Tigers. Liam, would anything be more Tigers to record their biggest win ever and frank that form with losing 10 straight to close the season?
That doesn't look great. I mean, like, I didn't realise that was the case until I thought about it, but yeah, that's not a great look. Hey, Glennie.
The Tigers beating the Tigers?
No, the Tigers getting, their highest score ever.
Would there be anything more Tigers than to record their biggest win ever and frank that form with losing 10 straight to close the season out?
Well, it's the epitome of, look, you know, they blew their load and they fell asleep. Like, who hasn't been guilty of that?
You make an excellent point.
A bunch of people saying that the Moses Sea Eagles only just scraped in. Terry, now this is the doggy scandal.
Win, bitches.
Which will sort of be one of the news items. But apparently, Raymond Faitala-Mariner complained that the training was too hard under Seraldo and that he wouldn't play prop. Seraldo picked him at prop against the Panthers. He made one run in the first half for 1 metre. That, my friends, is industrial action at its finest. Anyway, he was apparently told at the end of the game today to go find employment elsewhere next year.
Mm. I tell you, though, exactly. I mean, but I haven't had anything good to say about Seraldo all season, but here we go. Here comes the first thing.
Yep.
He's actually living my dream of, like, when a player is not doing something or a player signs elsewhere.
Yep.
No matter what jersey number they usually wear on their back.
Run them
as props and just throw them into the fucking meat grinder until their career or their time at the club ends. Serato's done that, so, you know. And look, it works. He's got rid of him one game.
Here is my thing. You play where the fucking coach expects you to play.
Yep.
You front up and you do
look
exactly
what. Look at fucking Jake Granville.
Told. Yeah. Well, in his own team, look at fucking the kiddie fiddler. Ockenball.
Yep.
You know, he went from being the fucking laziest cunt on the field, like Jamal Idris 2.0, to now playing in the forwards. You know?
He was the laziest cunt bludgeoning out in the wing, and now he's gone to the laziest cunt in the middle.
That's it.
Well, no, until Raymond Faitala-Mariner came up.
And, look, the only thing that would be unreasonable is for the coach to expect you to all of a sudden switch positions or styles of play or whereabouts on the field you play and to be 100% effective at it first game. That'd be the only thing where you could suggest that the coach is being unreasonable. If he wants to play you there, he should give you a bunch of time to adjust and get your game up to it. But apart from that, fuck that. And when your coach has come from a team that has won back-to-back premierships and won the first of those premierships based off being by far the fittest team in the competition, to complain about the training load.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell, man.
And he hasn't played a lot of football this season either.
Yeah.
It's not like he's been fucking burned out by the training load.
Stuart, to your point, Nate, he said, did Reece Walsh's try, celebratory black backflip, preclude the bunker from taking the try off him? Far too marketable an event to throw it in the bin.
I dare say that they probably could have still disallowed the try and then still shown the highlights or whatever, in their little, warm-up footage for games and shit.
Toto, Moses flopping, then using a review to overturn and get Holmes 10 in the bin, we've already discussed.
Good shit, housery, good gamesmanship.
Kevin, is RTS coming back to the Warriors next year something that will make them go forwards or backwards? I think CKN has been a big part of their attack this year, and I couldn't justify him being dropped. I think RTS could swallow his ego and play on the wing.
Or centers or something. I don't know, but I mean,
the answer is fucking definitely. Because do you remember the way he went out? Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. I wouldn't. He gave up his jersey. I'd be shocked if he refused to play anywhere but fullback.
Yeah. When he was going out, he gave up his jersey. Said, no, that's what's best for the team. That's exactly what I'll fucking do.
Yeah.
Exactly the sort of player you want. Where's the other at? Sorry. Oh, fuck off, Elon. St. Lando said, whose fans are worse on Twitter, Sharks or Penrith?
Penrith at the moment. Sharks were the worst.
I think it's Sharks by a nose, given they've done nothing to back it up in years.
Dolphins fans that used to be Dragons fans.
Oof. Yeah, no, I think there's definitely Panthers fans, and particularly because it seems like there's a breed of Panthers fans that only started following rugby league in around 2021.
Tags is 2020 jerseys.
And yeah, exactly. Oh, and they are fucking irritating.
Can I tell you? They're fragile.
Oh, so sensitive.
There
about
are fucking Brisbane Broncos levels needs of validation but from the fans of other clubs.
Yeah, and I actually think that the Broncos fans are probably they're probably second at the moment. The Sharks were really bad around, like, you know, 16, 17, 18.
Yep.
But now, as they get further away from that premiership and they realise that they're due another 48 years or whatever before they fucking get their next one, they've kind of backed off a bit. They understand their position now. They've seen that they can't beat teams in the top eight. And obviously, by the very nature of the final system, you have to beat teams in the top eight to advance in the finals. So they understand their place now, I think, and they're back in their hole.
Yeah. Mad Dog, he said, in the future, people won't use the saying the best thing since sliced bread. Instead, they will say the best thing since Reece Walsh.
This fucking guy. Well,
literally no one will ever fucking say that ever. And even if he says it, his fucking wife will bash him.
Well, that is true.
And
that
he deserve
true.
It.
Reece Walsh is as interesting as fucking thinly sliced white bread.
Yeah, that, like that supermarket exactly bread him. Too. Not like we're not talking about like a bakery that actually fucking, you know, puts time and you know, artisan fucking craft into the baking of the bread.
Yep.
Which is like tip top fucking
sun blessed fucking Woolworths.
That's his new nickname, Reece Walsh. Fucking sun blessed.
Oh, but it's sliced. You don't even have to do that yourself. It's already sliced. How good is that?
You wouldn't even feed it to the ducks.
At DeanK88 said, has anyone seen Serraldo and Barrett in the same room at the same time? No, we have fucking not. Toto TV said, with Teddy Fresh off having a mid-season break, watching Squid Games in Byron Bay, will we see more Origin players having extended breaks post-Origin as it gets bigger and tougher each year?
No.
Do you think that the mid-season format has a limited lifespan?
I hate it. This year it absolutely fucking cunted us. I would like to see. I don't know why you can't put the season on hold and have three consecutive Origins.
Yeah.
But also, there's so many players outside of Origin as well. I mean, you can run a proper series for the female Origin
for the
women, as well.
That's it.
You can bring in some of those games that people love to see with, you know, Tonga versus, you know, Samoa and, you know, bring Fiji, PNG, get some more actual international content in there, have a representative couple of rounds.
I still want the Legends game. That was one of the greatest fucking spectacles in rugby league.
But it also has to have the part where you can auction one spot per team where you get that fucking fruiter in there and lay on tries.
Can you imagine the fundraising to get the big D's on
big
the Queensland side?
Big D's on the wing. Stop it.
You would 100%, you would 100% be in that fucking game, Glenn. I'm telling you now. The big D's would be unstoppable.
I'd knock my shoulders up to it, bro.
You might have to play for New South Wales. Because you'd probably get outbid by like Clive Palmer or something to play for Queensland.
With an unheralded donation on behalf of the Hollywood elite for $47 million. Dollars.
We've received a telegram from Hayward Island.
Oh, that was fucking phenomenal. It does still surprise me Like, there are other sports at the moment, like the, you know, talking about having more tournaments in mid-season breaks. And
yep.
And the obvious thing that comes up is, well, hang on. What if a player gets injured playing a game that essentially doesn't matter for that championship?
Yeah, well, guess what? That's fucking Origin for
and,
us, isn't
and
it?
And that's it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it has too much longer before clubs start going, oh, fuck, yeah, okay. You know, do we really want to risk our season?
Yep.
On something. Especially now that windows are so short.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be sad, but yeah. What else have we got? Talking about... Sorry. Marty Kapow. Sharky Dave. He said you can take the boy out of the Dogs, but you can't take the dog out of the boy. There we go. What a fucking genius. Was there anything else of note there? There was the West Tigers signed Fainu. Samuela Fainu.
Yep.
And then the...
And Latu.
Him in particular.
Okay.
After they've signed him, the New South Wales Rugby League is reportedly investigating that their under-19s captain for breaching their code of conduct. It's reportedly left the hotel early in the morning to confront a Queensland player for a personal sledge on the field.
And you know what the personal sledge was?
What's that?
It was just something like this. This is the level it was. It was like, oh, have you got a knife? Like, it wasn't like, okay, so player's brother's in jail for stabbing a guy, convicted blow. You know, we know the story of Manassi well. But if I were an opposing player, for example, you could come with all sorts of gear about his brother holding a dude's pocket, or you could just be overt with and talk about his brother just getting straight up fucking, you know, butt fucked in prison. But no, it's just like, you got a knife? That's the level. And that's the level that sets him off on the field, like, you know, spitting at Brandon Wakeham and fucking going at him against the Tigers earlier in the season, which is fucking hilarious. The first training session with fucking three Fainu brothers there with Brandon Wakeham, he needs to get the fucking Super League in the off-season real quick because he's going to get fucking curb-stopped that first session at Concord. But yeah, it is funny. Like, the second they sign with the Tigers... You leave the nest, the protective fucking orb comes off, and the media to start feeding on you instantly. It's great.
Lovely. That's us for the socials for this week.
So then that's us for the episode this week then, boys. Well, not this week, this Monday. Of course, the previews one coming up on Wednesday.
You'll be pleased to know my audio is still running.
Well, well, let me be the judge of that when I see what fucking ends up in Dropbox in 10 minutes. And we'll
see.
See
what ends up in your box.
Yeah, oh,
fucking Jesus, Glenn.
Don't threaten me with a good time. that's not aggressive at all. I'm fucking open to it. I'll push back, Glenny. Fucking bring it.
You just want the glory.
Take me to fucking Diesel Island, baby.
Saying that you've had relations with the big D's. I know how this works. I've learned from actual celebrities, members of the Hollywood elite, as to how this works and the pitfalls of fame.
All right. That is it for 526. Everyone, thanks, of course, for listening. All the good shit, thisweekinleague.com. Head there for our social communities. Get on the Facebook group. Get on Twitter again, and then you can get yourself get your name up in lights. And get a comment in for the socials for the end of the round for Stepdad to read out. And that's it. You got anything else you want to? You want to talk about butt fucking me again, Glenny, or you just?
No, I think I've done enough of that. Or? Thank you very much. I'm going to go jerk off now that we've got the world's smallest fucking boner.
Yeah, and look, I just want to say that's no reflection on me. That's the reflection of what you were given.
Yeah, it's genetics, man.
Yeah, yeah. All right, just to be clear. I fucking do it. I do it for you. But yeah, there's only so much. I'm not a miracle worker. All right.
I'm just picturing you two in a fucking oiled up love nest singing the fucking Ice Cube classic. You can do it. Put your back into it.
All right. That's it. I'm gonna have a massive coffee fit right now. So yeah, we'll talk to you boys in a couple of days.
Okay.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.